on a phenomenal Sunday night, live from the Vault in the Full Range Entertainment Studios in beautiful Birmingham, Alabama. This is Beyond Ringside. Yours truly, the Magic City Motor Mouth, Fast Eddie Lane behind the control panel. Welcoming back in tag team partners Mark Mabo Bowman.
For once, we're going to have a show that's not going to be a 100% sausage fest.
Like to welcome back in the Oracle of Ominous, the Wicked Nemesis.
It's all about tradition and respect.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you and bring in our very special guest, professional wrestling star, Christy Ricci. Ms. Ricci, pleasure to have you on board Beyond Ringside tonight.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. And just for the record, there's nothing wrong with the sausage fest.
It is when you have to do it every week for, I don't know how long we've been doing this, Eddie, 4 or 5 years?
Yes.
Yes, you kind of get tired of a little wang-dang-doodle every freaking Sunday.
Okay, I guess I can't speak for everyone then.
Well, from that vantage point, so here's the thing. Before we start in full scale, we have been major proponents of good women's wrestling. We just recently did an interview with the brand new NWA Women's World Champion, Casey Carlisle, and mm-hmm. I explained our position to her, where the word diva is genuinely a four-letter word. The word knockout is now a four-letter word, where labels in and of themselves have become overwhelming in this day and age. And the one thing that we look at more than anything else is the talent that a person possesses when they step through the ropes and the bell rings. From bell to bell, are they an exemplary example of what a professional wrestler is? Now, I'm just going to dive straight on in and ask, is that the same mindset that you have when it comes to the business?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a tricky question. And I have differences of opinions. You know, I have a lot of respect for the women who come into business. They work their butts off and, you know, they get into the ring. You can tell, like, they put so much heart and passion behind their craft and into the business from a respect level and from, you know, an athletic level and, you know, a business level. They treat it as a business, not as something like they're doing as a hobby or, you know, just doing it to be in front of people or to hopefully one day be on TV. But I also have respect for those girls that you consider divas, you know, that get there however they get there, but at the same time, they put the work and effort into it and, you know, really try hard to be an example and to fill the shoes that they're in, I guess is the easy way to put it.
Mabo, come on in.
All right. First of all, Christy, very, very honored to have you on the show. Let's take it back a little bit to the origin story, if you will, if you were a comic book mm-hmm. fan. How did you get started and come to enjoy the world of professional wrestling?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I grew up a fan, and ever since I was a little girl, I told everyone I was going to be a professional wrestler. It was just kind of odd. My mom thought maybe there was something wrong with me. She wasn't too sure what to think about it, but she was pretty sure that, like, it was a stage that I was going through and it would pass over. And I got in high school, I was so infatuated with, you know, professional wrestling still, and I carried on the same talk, like, hey, I'm going to become a professional wrestler someday. And after I graduated high school my freshman year, you know, I still remembered how much I enjoyed wrestling, watching it, and how I always said I wanted to do it. And I just decided that I was going to find a professional wrestling school and get trained. I was already in college by this time, and I went as far as to, the closest wrestling school I had was in Atlanta. I forget the name of it. I don't even know if it still exists. But, I went as far as to apply to a different university. I applied to Georgia Tech, and I was going to transfer. Like, all of my paperwork was done, everything, and I was transferring to Georgia Tech. Just so I could be in Atlanta where there was a local wrestling school. Like, I had no idea about any kind of local wrestling, any kind of independent wrestling. I just knew I wanted to get trained, right? So, like, 2 months before the end of my last semester when I was going to Georgia Tech, I met Leilani Kai. I was first introduced to independent wrestling by a local valet that was a bartender at one of the bars we used to go to when I was in college. And I was like, no way. Like, there's really independent live shows here in Nashville. Like, I had no idea. So I went to one with her, and I saw Leilani Kai. Of course, like, I grew up watching the Glamour Girls and the LPWA, and so I just thought it was, like, the coolest thing. Like, I had no idea Leilani Kai still wrestled. You know, I wasn't really upstate with it besides what I grew up watching. So, you know, I kind of just, it was definitely luck and kind of fate. I ended up staying in Nashville and, you know, training with my role model and someone I grew up watching, and that really taught me the right way and taught me a lot about the business. So it's definitely nothing I would have traded for some school that, you know, people have probably never heard of. So.
Wicked Nemesis, come on in. Oh, sorry.
What has been your favorite moment so far in your stellar career, Miss Ricci?
Oh, my goodness. I have had so many stellar moments. I've been really fortunate to do a lot. And, you know, I've had so many great experiences from, like, getting to go to Japan or England, and I lived in Mexico. And sometimes the experiences were outside of the ring, like people that you meet and how much fun that you have and how much you have in common with the people who love wrestling just the way you do. Because as a worker, you know that outside of wrestling, no one understands your weird obsession with this very different sport or job, as we like to call it, you know? So it's hard to find people that can relate to that. And, you know, those experiences when you're traveling, there's people who understand your passion for it and, you know, love to get in the ring and work out with you before the show. Or, you know, walking out for the first time. I remember the first time I wrestled in front of more than 200 people was actually Mexico City, and there was about 12,000 there, and just that filming of the electricity, filling from the electricity of the crowd was so overwhelming. I was like, oh my gosh, I could get used to this. I love it, you know? So, so many different moments have been highlights in my career, and to be able to say there was one that was more important and more special than the other probably isn't that fair. So I would say many.
Now, it's public knowledge, but I wanted to go ahead and ask, to whom do you give credit for the majority of your early training as well as your continuing training? Or workout partners, so, I should say.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned Leilani Kai was my trainer. You know, the way she brought me in, I was pretty much training for 6 weeks and then put me on the road, you know. So I contribute a lot of my success and my training and bring me into the business from Leilani Kai. But about 2 years into the business, I met up with Tasha Simone. At the time, she was in West Tennessee. And she really did. I mean, we've had differences between now and then, but she really, in the beginning, and her, I guess, nice way, which is not that nice, but it's nice for Tasha Simone. She put me in, you know, kind of took me in her ring, under her wing, and I was driving 2-3 hours every weekend just to train with another female, you know. So she worked a lot with me, and, you know, we did a lot of shows together, and so I would also contribute a lot to her as well.
When it comes,
and Tasha's not, I don't know if you guys know Tasha Simone very well.
Very good friend here on the show.
Yeah. So, you know, she's not the type of girl that's going to mess with some girl that she doesn't believe in or doesn't want to give any time to. And she's very, very vocal and very opinionated about that. So knowing that about Tasha, I thought it was an honor that she even, you know, gave me the time of day. Even if it was beating my ass just a little bit. But, you know, whatever.
She has very words for you, Miss Ricci, this past Wednesday night on her and mine show, the To Be Determined show. So you might want to ask her about that. A lot of respect, as you can tell, from two legends in this business, because whether you two like to admit or not, you're both living legends, as is Miss Kai. She has some very nice words about you, and I feel sorry for whoever you guys actually, you're battling who? The Rockettes? Is that who you're battling? Coming
out. Yes.
And actually,
Tiffany. I love Tiffany Rocks. Tiffany, word of advice, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and maybe even do some pills because you're going to need it all. And the, would you like to take up whiskey?
But it may not be too late to take up the banjo. Yeah. Now, actually, one of the matches, the match that we're alluding to is Miss Richie is going to be teaming up with Tasha Simone, both former NWA Women's World Champions. I mean, folks, if you want to talk about firepower in a tag team combination, I think you've got it right here. And if you don't, I want to hear your definition, because I'm going to put holes in your thoughts right then and there. Because when you've got skilled competitors, pure veterans and stars in this business, like Christy Ricci and Tasha Simone, I don't want to use the word bulldozer, but I'm going to use the word bulldozer. And it's going to be, it's matter of fact, this Saturday night, November the 3rd in Lebanon, Tennessee, under the banner of NWA Top Rope, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be, the two of you will be taking on the combination known as the Rockettes. It's Roxy as well as Tiffany Rocks. Tiffany Rocks, a former NWA Women's World Champion. So folks, first off, for those in, it doesn't matter, Tennessee, Alabama, surrounding areas, when you get a chance to see three world champions in one match, granted two on one side, one on the other, and four very skilled and determined competitors. I mean, I've had a chance to do a little bit of homework here and there, and I have followed careers, and I would sit back and say, if I were not already in an engagement this coming Saturday night, I would be in a car driving to Lebanon to catch this match. Because in my book, and this is straight up, and I don't want to use that word, but this is straight up. There are some matches that you have an opportunity to see, even if they are two and a half hours away, that it's worth going to see. And this qualifies as one of them. Now, I make the reference to championships. Mm-hmm. You have had success virtually, if not everywhere that you have gone, whether it be the XWF, whether it be down in Mexico, whether it be the NWA Championship, whether it be, I believe it was, what was the company, Wrestlicious, also had you as their champion for a while?
Yep.
How many championships on that level have you held?
I think you probably just named all of them. You know, it's not, this is, I guess, this is me, like, trying to be humble, too, but, like, I never really thought, I've been this champion. I've always just thought, like, it's such an honor that these people want me to represent their company. Each one of those you just named, I mean, they were all spectacular in their own way and all very different from each other, and it was, like, the opportunity. Like, it's just such an honor to be able to be given that opportunity to be someone's champion, you know, because you are the face of that company at that point, and you're representing not only women's professional wrestling, but that company, you know. So it's definitely a huge honor, and I honestly don't know how it's happened. Like, I think I've just been, I've been a component of circumstance, you know, just like, hey, here you are. This is your chance. And, you know, I try to capitalize any kind of opportunity I'm given and, you know, just run with it. So, yeah.
Your first match, if my notes are right, if I remember correctly, was mid-2K2, right?
Who?
2K2, 2002 was when you originally got into the... Was your first match, right?
Yeah, that was my first actual match, yes.
So technically we can say a decade.
Yes, sure.
As this decade has gone by for you,
I'm so old.
I'm sorry. That's the
not
last thing.
Not as old as Tasha Simone.
Somehow or another, I have a feeling I'll end up paying the price for that one. However, in that decade, you've had a chance to see different promotions, different people, different business models, and different ideas of different promoters. Mm-hmm. Over that decade, in your mind, from your vantage point, how have you seen the evolution or de-evolution of professional wrestling, not just women's wrestling, but on the whole of itself? Have you seen it go for the better, for the worse? You take everything on a company-by-company basis, or what?
You know, so I'm not too up to date with all the TNA and WWE stuff. I kind of got away from that stuff a long time ago, and I just don't have time, honestly. But talking about wrestling that I can speak to, which is more or less independent shows and women's professional wrestling, I think, for me personally, that it's gone uphill and it's improved. You know, when I first started, I was traveling, and, you know, this has a lot to do with, like, paying your dues and being a beginner in the business, but I was traveling 7 or 8 hours three times a week and maybe making $20, you know, and even after wrestling 2 or 3 years, maybe you make a little more money, but it's still not, I mean, you're doing it strictly for the passion and the love of wrestling, not because you're making money off of it. You know, I'm not sure if it's just like how my brain works, because I'm 100% business. Like, I treat wrestling as a business now. And, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, I've been able to make it a very lucrative and productive business for myself. So, in that sense, I just think, like, with all the internet companies and all, you know, the promotions, like the women's promotions, like Shimmer and Shine, and you know, you have Arena Chicks and Chicks Fight, and, you know, it promotes women's wrestling in such a positive light that it's given us a platform to work off and to make a living off of. And, you know, the more promotions there are, the more places there are for girls to work, you know, and maybe not necessarily have to have a shoot job or, you know, do the 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, because they have multiple places to work. So, you know, I see it becoming on the business side more complex and more penetrated and more prevalent. And then, you know, as far as if you want to speak about how I feel about professional wrestling on TV, I think it's shit. You know, like, I grew up in the 80s where, you know, wrestling, it made you feel something, and it made you believe in something spectacular. And I don't watch professional wrestling today and get that same feeling. So my explanation is going to be that it's shit on TV. So I hope that answers your question.
Hey, Bo, come on in.
Now, you wrestled in Mexico, and have you wrestled, like, in Canada, Japan, any other places?
Yes, both of those you mentioned. England, a few other places, like South Korea. Sorry, I don't remember.
Well, this leads me to the question is how, in your opinion, do you see how do you feel that the fans differ in the United States and those abroad?
So, you know how we have, like, everyone claims to be a smart mark, you know, which I can totally disagree with, because, oh, that's a whole nother conversation anyway. Mm-hmm. But, I don't feel like overseas you get people that are too concerned with that. Like, they just want to enjoy the show, want to get all caught up, like, knowing everything and knowing, like, you know, and I don't know if I'm not really articulating myself too well. I just feel like the fans over there have a different appreciation for the sport, where here it's like they almost want to be inside of it. They want to be inside wrestling and, you know, inside the whole, a real fan, you know, they want to be inside the drama and they want to know what's going on and be smarter than the person sitting next to them. And I just think it's stupid. But that's the biggest difference. I definitely get a different feel of appreciation for it, and not to be so involved, but to just be there and exist in the moment and enjoy it, not be like, oh, let's go home and get on the message boards after the show. Like, don't do that stuff, you know?
Okay. Wicked Nemesis, come on in.
Now, I don't want to break kayfabe, but Miss Ricci, you are a notorious drinker. Your drinking exploits are legendary in this business.
My what are?
Your drinking is legendary. You're notorious, perhaps. It seems every woman in this business has a Christy Ricci drinking story. And you know it's true, so I'll ask you this. What has been the most that you have drank before a match?
Oh, I don't do that. Come on. Seriously? Okay, I will tell you, you know, I was juicing in Mexico a couple times. I was really stupid. Don't know why I did. And I got the promoter to go get me a 6-pack of beer. And I drank the whole 6-pack. That was like the only time I've ever done. Professional wrestling to me is about safety first when you step in the ring, and protecting yourself first, protecting your opponent second. And, you know, like, there's no way I would ever be willing to compromise that, because I would definitely not want someone to do that to me. So, yes, I do like to party a little bit, but no, I would never do it before I wrestle. So.
Did you say two-party or Bacardi?
Two-party.
Oh, okay. I thought she said Bacardi. It's like, bartender.
Oh, I'll drink some Bacardi.
But to say,
it's not much I won't drink. Right now, I'm on Fireball, and I'm gay.
And I just left left field. There you go.
Wait. I've got a question. You guys are doing all the questions. Now it's time for me to ask a question.
Come on in.
So, you have so many notorious Christy Ritchie drinking stories. I want to hear one of them.
Wicked. You open the...
I heard that you actually had a driver for almost a year, and you drank so much that guys refused to actually drink with you, that you would go to Mexico and guys would literally back away from the bar. I'm just saying. I've also heard stories from David Young.
Oh, God.
Chase Stevens.
That's even worse.
Consider you a goddess when it comes to partying. And that's saying something. I've partied with these gentlemen several times.
Hey, I was really young when I hung out with them, like really, really young. But yeah, back in the day, I could definitely throw a few back and keep going and then call everyone else P-U-S-S-Y's for not keeping up with me.
But yes, it's very, this is not an intervention, so don't think it is. It's very funny to talk to someone that's partying is more legendary than myself. I'm just saying.
You haven't hung out with me, Wicked, during a house show. You've always disappeared. However, now coming back into realm, we make a reference, and you made the reference a little while ago to work ethic and working in this industry, as well as some people doing this. You know, you've got some who are the weekend warriors who do this for the love of the industry because they really want to try to get better, but they're not making the money at it to support themselves full scale. And then as their skill set and move set and their marketing abilities improve, they learn how to make more money at this industry. But by the same token, a lot of us venture out into different areas as far as business goes. And I almost said shoot business, but by the same token, you can shoot me for saying shoot business. Okay, shoot. However, the art of being an entrepreneur while being in the world of professional wrestling is still a very tricky thing. Now, you own and operate your own business, right?
Right.
How hard? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you're definitely right. It's very tricky. First of all, you have to be, I wouldn't say a special person. You just have to be a different person to run a business. You know, you have to have your stuff together. You know, you've got to have the capital, number one. And, you know, you have to learn what people want, what hasn't been done, which everything's been done, you know, so that's pretty tricky. And, you know, you have to learn what pleases people and, you know, keep that coming. You know, for men, I think it's a lot more difficult than it is for women, but, you know, I think there's opportunity out there for men. I mean, I'm not a man, so I'm not going to start my own company, you know. But I definitely think there's opportunity for men just like there is for women. I think there's a little more for women, of course. And, you know, it is very tricky. It's challenging. It's time-consuming. It's a roller coaster. You know, there's ups and there's downs. And, I mean, I love wrestling fans. You know, I absolutely love them. But they are very high maintenance, very high maintenance. So that's, you know, that's difficult too, you know, learning the time management. Cause I also, like, I've got a professional career, you know, which I've worked really hard on. And that at this point in my life definitely comes before my professional wrestling. And one of the reasons I started my company is just cause I'm so rooted in professional wrestling. I'm so in love with what I've done and what I used to do. So it's hard to say, hey, you know, I'm never going to wrestle again. I have a 2-year-old, you know, so when I became a mom, my traveling definitely ceased. You know, I've probably done 24 shows since I've had my little girl that required me to get on an airplane and leave Nashville. And half of those times I took her with me. So, and that was my reason for starting a company. You know, it's like, hey, I can bring all my friends here and we're going to have this amazing production. I have this amazing idea. And, you know, I think it's going to create a great place for us all to have fun and make more money and just be something else for the girls to do. So, you know, I think you just have to have that kind of desire and ambition to make it want to happen, you know. So It's definitely challenging. It's definitely possible, though, you know? There's opportunity there. You know, I went from that to Christy. It's kind of funny. It's like a catch-22 because, you know, I'm doing all this promoting, and here I am presenting it, but it's, I don't want to feature myself. Like, I want to eventually be a producer and create this place where, you know, veterans and new talent can come in and work and make money and enjoy having a place, enjoying doing what they're doing. You know, I don't want to put myself out into the product anymore. But, you know, for cash flow and capital reasons, I am having to wrestle a lot. And it's funny because I'm getting a lot of emails from people like, oh, we want more pictures or Christy Ritchie. I'm like, no, this is not ChristyRitchie.com. It's CherryBombWrestling.com. So that's also been a challenge, too, I think, when I guess you use your name and people know that it's your creation and production that they expect it to be mostly about you. And that's not what it's about. It's about women's professional wrestling quality. Women's professional wrestling, and you know, I'm making it a point to only have the best athletes, you know, the most talented female wrestlers in the business. We're not doing that stupid custom script-ish where fans write stupid scripts and we act them out. There are no scripts. We are wrestling, so it's none of that fake-ish. And yeah, you know, it's just a good, fun place. And you know, so far we've had success, and I think everyone's having a lot of fun with it. The girls. But yeah, CherryBombWrestling.com is the website, and we have Facebook.
And you're very active yourself all across social media, right?
Do what?
You're active yourself all across media, right?
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter, all of the above?
Oh, I'm not on Twitter. So if there's a Christy Rich on Twitter, it's not me. I'm only on Facebook.
All right, you heard it here. If there's a Christy Ritchie on Facebook, guess what? It ain't her. I mean, on Twitter, it ain't her.
No. I have Facebook. I don't have Twitter.
Yeah, I tried to correct myself real quick. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Mabo, come on back in real quick.
I don't know how well known this is. And of course, anytime it's on Wikipedia, you got to take it with a grain of salt. But I've seen it in other places too. Now, we're going to go even further back to when you were a young Christy Ricci. And you.
What? Am I young?
Oh, I'm sorry, a child.
I'm kidding. All right, go ahead.
You attended Sunday school with someone who is both well-known in the world of professional wrestling, and their dad is hugely known in the world of professional wrestling. You want to enlighten?
Yeah, so I'm from Clinton, Mississippi. We went to a church called Morris Heights, and Teddy DiBiase Jr. was in my Sunday school class. And, God, he was so cute. Oh, my God, I was young, but he was really cute. So I grew up, you know, for a few years. We just the same Sunday school class, and I was infatuated with the fact that his father was a million-dollar man. You know, it was the point in my life. I was really young. My mom didn't let me watch it on TV, but I would sneak after she went to sleep every once in a while, or you know, if I was in my bedroom at night, I knew exactly what time it came on, and I would turn on the TV and watch it until I'd hear her coming down the hall or something, then I'd change the channel really quick. So I just think being, you know, a kid and having this star, you know, that was someone you saw on a weekly basis was like the coolest thing ever, you know. Just stuff like that doesn't happen to everyone. And, you know, that's a lot of where my interest came, you know, of wanting to. I mean, honestly, if I wouldn't have been in that Sunday school class, I probably never would have been intrigued by professional wrestling. Never. So I definitely would say that that has a lot to do with why I got into professional wrestling and why there was such a huge interest there.
Wicked Nemesis, come on back in.
Anything you'd like to say to the Rockettes before you get off the line, Ms. Ritchie?
Bitches, be ready. I'm kidding. you know, this is one thing that's really interesting about Tasha and I. Tasha would have like this rant and rave about, hey, you know, this is a really whatever. And I think this is going to be interesting about our tag team because we are so different in personalities. Like, I'm not by any means comparing myself to Ricky the Steamboat, but I don't know if y'all remember Ricky the Steamboat ever trying to be a heel, how that never really worked too well for him.
No, never did.
Yeah, I'm kind of like that, you know? I don't know. Tasha sometimes can bring out the mean in me, so we'll see, but I'm very much babyface material, that's for sure. I enjoy the excitement of wrestling, you know, and I enjoy being excited in the ring and, you know, having tons of energy. So we'll see, you know, as far as the Rockettes, I mean, I'm a little surprised they took the challenge, to be quite honest, being, you know, we are who we are. I mean, I wouldn't want to fight against me and Tasha, and I definitely wouldn't accept that challenge if I was someone else. So I guess, you know, we're just going to have to see. I'm going to probably have to get Tasha to go a little easy on them. Yeah, the thing about Tasha, though, her energy, like, I'm very influenced by people's energy, the energy that's around me and I'm surrounded by. So, with that being said, you know, she comes in like her, you should touch yourself. I can probably imagine that, God, I'm probably going to be right there with her. So, we'll see.
Now, away from the ring, if you're approached by a young lady and she asks for the first piece of advice that pops into your head when she says she wants to get in pro wrestling. What's the first thing that pops into your head to tell her?
I'd be first saying, why? You know, I think that's a very legit and a very,
true
thing to ask a female why they want to be in professional wrestling, you know? So with that said, after, you know, she told me a reason, if I thought it was a legit enough reason, you know, I would tell her just, you know, keep her head down, you know, kind of decide what her goals are in professional wrestling, where she wants to go and what she wants to do, and try not to go too off-road or too off-path from those goals, you know, and work your butt off to achieve them. And, I mean, really, that's all you can tell someone, you know. It's a difficult business, you know, and you just want to make people are in it for the right reason. Because if you're not, people like Tasha Simone will, like, pick you out really quick and make you look like an idiot, so.
Now, knowing how far you went in the world of academia, do you find that the lessons learned as you were pursuing the business degree affected your choices in professional wrestling or vice versa?
Yeah, I will tell you, you know, I think it's okay, so, you know, professional wrestling, I think everyone gets into it for the hope and dream of being something great, you know, and being successful on TV. And I mean, you guys can argue that if you want. I'm sure there's some people who don't get in with that particular goal in mind, but I didn't. Like, I definitely grew up a WWF fan, and, you know, that was my destination and what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And, you know, or WWE tryout where they have, you know, have you come in and work a couple shows, like do the two-shot one. Yeah. And it was, like, the most uncomfortable thing I had ever done in my entire life, you know. It just made me feel really out of place, like I wasn't welcome. And it took everything I appreciated at professional wrestling and just flushed it down the toilet, you know? Like, it's not a place I wanted to be. And that was not the reason that I got into professional wrestling. I realized it at that very point, that I got into professional wrestling because I loved it and I enjoyed it. And I wanted to feel like I belonged here. And my first time working for WWE, I did not feel like I belonged there. So I never, ever pursued that again. And that was a little bit disappointing for me, you know, realizing it at that moment that I was never going to do that because I was never going to compromise myself and the reason, my love for the business, to make it to TV. So that was disappointing. And I think in my professional life, I've been able to handle things a lot better because of that. Like, you know, the job market's very competitive, you know, people with their MBAs versus people with their bachelor's plus people with years of experience, you know, you're all competitive against each other.
Right.
And, you know, I haven't got every single job that I've ever wanted, you know, and it's helped me to say, hey, you know, I've been through this before. I know this experience. And then one day I'm going to find my niche and I'm going to be in the place where I'm most comfortable with and where I want to be. And that's something that professional wrestling taught me, you know. So and vice versa, learning to treat professional wrestling as a business, not as a hobby. But, you know, people treat you with respect, you know, and this is a business at the same time, you know. So representing it like a professional and not like some crony off the street is important, you know.
Yes. Understand completely. Mabo, one last round with Christy
one
Ricci.
Last round. If you could face anyone in the ring, past or present, who would it be?
If I could have anyone in the ring?
Yes.
I mean, God, there's so many women I think I would have absolutely loved. I mean, Wendy Richter definitely stands out in my head. I think she's been my all-time favorite. And then you have, like, Sherry Martel. And, I mean, so many fabulous women of the past that I think I have tremendous respect for. And just, I mean, I still probably once a week watch YouTube videos of those two ladies. I mean, they're just amazing. And to have had the pleasure to wrestle one of them would have been awesome. So,
Wicked Nemesis, one more round with Christy Ricci.
Who is your favorite person to watch today?
Today? Let's see. I mean, and the only reason that's a difficult question for me because I'm not too up to date with, like, what's going on WWE or TNA or any of that stuff. So.
No. Hold on. Everybody always thinks I'm talking about WWE and TNA. No, I'm talking about, I guess I should say, on the indie scene. Because you have a lot of...
Definitely Tasha Simone. I mean, that woman can work a crowd and can work an interview or, I mean, I'm not too sure, honestly, it's even a work. I think she works the hell out of me. Like, she is, I mean... I can't even put it into words. Like, she is so talented, like, so deep in talent when it comes to not only the technical craft of professional wrestling, but just to the whole package. And you have to respect that. And I do enjoy watching her. She's amazing.
If I may. First off, I want to say thank you very much for being generous with your time tonight. It is a definite pleasure and an honor to have you on board the show. The door is definitely open. We would love to have you come back on anytime you get the opportunity. It would be greatly appreciated. In addition to this coming Saturday night, Lebanon, Tennessee, November the 3rd, tag team action. You and Tasha Simone taking on the Rockettes for NWA Top Rope. Any other appearances in the near future that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, you know, not right now. I take bookings very selectively these days. You know, I have a few offers that I'm considering. Mexico, maybe, but God, I just can't myself do it. I'm not going to talk about it. But, yeah, I mean, I have some things working, and, you know, the Cherry Bomb Wrestling website will always have updates on my upcoming shows. So I would say keep checking www.cherrybombwrestling.com, or we also have a Cherry Bomb Wrestling fan page on Facebook. So check those two.
Okay. And you said you also have your personal Facebook account that people can keep a track on. I think you've reached your limit as far as people being able to log in, right?
Yeah, but you can subscribe, you know, and I don't think it's a private page. I'm not too sure. So if you subscribe, you get all the updates and everything. So,
well, first off, I really wish I could be there. And I think I speak for all three of us. We wish we could be there this coming Saturday night, Lebanon, because it's going to be a tremendous night. Capped off tag team action, three NWA Women's World Champions in one match. Two on one side, one on the other. I don't prognosticate. I don't predict. But in this case, I will say this. The winner in this circumstance is going to be the fans. Everybody who has the opportunity. Lebanon is easy to find. Trust me on this one. I've been there. Great promotion. NWA Top Rope, Mike Searcy and company, they run a great show up there. And for those able to make the trip, I guarantee you, you will have a great time. Hard-hitting professional wrestling action under the banner of the National Wrestling Alliance at NWA Top Rope. Check it out. You will have a good time and more than your money's worth. Christy, once again, thank you for taking the time to come on with us. It has been an honor to have you on board.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys. Having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest, Christy Ricci, has just gone Beyond Ringside, and we will be back on the Beyond Ringside Radio Network right after this.